ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on Canto 5, Chapter number 12, Conversation between Maharishi Rahugana and Judd Bharat. We're going to take up where we left off yesterday and ask His Holiness Kesha Bharti Maharaj to begin the reading. But first he'll give some special prayers from the Srimad Bhagavata Mahima Stotram from Srila Sanatan Goswami's writings in the Shri Krishna Lila stuff.
Srila Sanatan Goswami Prabhupada was the senior disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the person whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke the most to. And he had an idea to glorify the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna in very simple language, vocative Sanskrit, meant to jog the memory so that we can remember the pastimes of Krishna very nicely. And his idea was to offer 108 obeisances to the Vrindavan Leela of Krishna. And this Srimad Bhagavata Mahima Stotram is the 107th out of 108 obeisances. So this was after he had glorified the Dham. Now he's glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is not different from the Dham and not different than Krishna, as we will find out as we meditate deeply on this stotra. Goes like this. Sarva shastra dipiyusha sarva vedaika satpala sarva siddhanta ratnaja sarva lokaika vipada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures. Singular fruit of all the Vedas. Rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths. You are the only giver of light to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavato Prabho Kali Dvandivitya Shri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya Prema Varchak Shadayate Sarvada Savasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna Himself. Madeka bandho mat sangin madguro man mahadama man vistaraga man bhagya mat ananda namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asadhu sadhu tadayin atini chochatakada hanamun chokadachimam premna retkatayospura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Beginning from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 12, conversation between Maharaj Rahuvana and Jad Bharat. Text 1. King Rahuvana said, O most exalted personality, you are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the influence of your true self, all kinds of contradiction in the Shastras have been removed. In the dress of a friend of a Brahmana, you are hiding your transcendental, blissful position. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. From the Brahma Sanghita, we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, Sarvakarana Karanam. Rishabhadev was the direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. His son, Bharat Maharaj, who was now acting as the Brahmana, Jad Bharat, had received his body from the cause of all causes. Therefore, he is addressed as Karana Vigrahaya. Text 2. O best of the Brahmanas, my body is filled with dirty things, and my vision has been bitten by the serpent of pride. Due to my material conceptions, I am diseased. Your nectarian instructions are the proper medicine for one suffering from such a fever, and they are cooling waters for one scorched by the heat. Purport. The conditioned soul has a body full of dirty things. Bones, blood, urine, stool, and so forth. Nonetheless, the most intelligent men in this material world think that they are these combinations of blood, bone, urine, and stool. If this is so, why can't other intelligent men be made? If this is so, why can't other intelligent men be made with these ingredients? If this is so, why can't other intelligent men be made with these ingredients, which are so readily available? The entire world is going on under the bodily conception and creating a hellish condition unfit for any gentleman's living. The instructions given to King Rahuvana by Jad Bharat are very valuable. They are like the medicine that can save one from a snake bite. The Vedic instructions are like nectar and cool water for one suffering from scorching heat. Text 3. Whatever doubts I have about a particular subject matter, I shall ask you about later. For the time being, these mysterious yoga instructions you have given me for self-realization appear very difficult to understand. Please repeat them in a simple way so that I can understand them. My mind is very inquisitive and I want to understand this clearly. Purport. The Vedic literature instructs, Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shriya uttamam. An intelligent man must be very inquisitive to know the transcendental science deeply. Therefore, one must approach a guru, a spiritual master. Although Jad Bharat explained everything to Maharaj Rahuvana, it appears that his intelligence was not perfect enough to understand clearly. He therefore requested a further explanation. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Panipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya, the student must approach its spiritual master and surrender unto him fully, pranipatina. He must also question him in order to understand his instructions, pariprashnena. One should not only surrender to the spiritual master, but also render loving service unto him, sevaya, so that the spiritual master will be pleased with the student and explain the transcendental subject matter more clearly. A challenging spirit before the spiritual master should be avoided if one is at all interested in learning the Vedic instructions in depth. Text 4. O master of yogic power, you said that fatigue resulting from moving the body here and there is appreciated by direct perception, but actually there is no fatigue. It simply exists as a matter of formality. By such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Because of your presentation of this statement, my mind is a little disturbed. Purport. Formal inquiries and answers about the bodily conception do not constitute knowledge of the absolute truth. Knowledge of the absolute truth is quite different from the formal understanding of bodily pains and pleasures. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna informs Arjuna that the pains and pleasures experienced in relation to the body are temporary. They come and go. One should not be disturbed by them, but should tolerate them and continue with spiritual realization. Bonus?
Daily double bonus.
The self-realized Brahmana, Judd Bharat, said, among the various material combinations and permutations, there are various forms in earthly transformations. For some reason, these move on the surface of the earth and are called palanquin carriers. Those material transformations which do not move are gross material objects, like stones. In any case, the material body is made of earth and stone in the form of feet, ankles, calves, knees, thighs, torso, throat, and head. Upon the shoulders is the wooden palanquin, and within the palanquin is the so-called king of Sovira. The body of the king is simply another transformation of earth, but within that body, your lordship is situated and falsely thinking that you are the king of the state of Sovira. Purport. After analyzing the material bodies of the palanquin carrier and the palanquin passenger, Judd Bharat concludes that the real living force is the living entity. The living entity is the offshoot or offspring of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, within this material world, among moving and non-moving things, the real principle is Lord Vishnu. Due to his presence, everything is working, and there are actions and reactions. One who understands Lord Vishnu as the original cause of everything is to be understood to be perfectly situated in knowledge. Although he was falsely proud of being a king, King Rahugana was not really situated in knowledge. Therefore, he was rebuking the palanquin carriers, including the self-realized Brahmana, Judd Bharat. This is the first accusation Judd Bharat made against the king, who was daring to talk to a learned Brahmana from the flimsy ground of ignorance, identifying everything with matter. King Rahugana argued that the living entity is within, that the living entity is within the body, and that when the body is fatigued, the living entity within must therefore be suffering. It is clearly explained in the following verses that the living entity does not suffer due to the body's fatigue. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti gives an example of a child heavily decorated with ornaments. Although the child's body is very delicate, he does not feel fatigue, nor do the parents think that his ornaments should be taken away. The living entity has nothing to do with bodily pains and pleasures. These are simply mental concoctions. An intelligent man will find the original cause of everything. Material combinations and permutations may be a matter of fact in worldly dealings, but actually, the living force, the soul, has nothing to do with them. Those who are materially upset take care of the body and manufacture Dridra Narayana, poor Narayana. However, it is not a fact that the soul or super soul becomes poor simply because the body is poor. These are the statements of ignorant people. The soul and super soul are always apart from bodily pleasure and pain.
Text number 7. It is a fact, however, that these innocent people carrying your palanquin without payment are certainly suffering due to this injustice. Their condition is very lamentable because you have forcibly engaged them in carrying your palanquin. This proves that you are cruel and unkind, yet due to false prestige, you were thinking that you were protecting the citizens. This is ludicrous. You were such a fool that you could not have been adored as a great man in an assembly of persons advanced in knowledge. Purport. King Rahugana was proud of being king, and he felt he had the right to control the citizens as he liked. But actually, he was engaging men in carrying his palanquin without payment, and therefore he was causing them trouble without reason. Nonetheless, the king was thinking that he was the protector of the citizens. Actually, the king should be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, he is called Naradevata, the Lord among human beings. However, when a king thinks that because he is the head of the state, he can utilize the citizens for his sense gratification, he is in error. Such an attitude is not appreciated by learned scholars. According to the Vedic principles, the king should be advised by learned sages, brahmanas, and scholars who advise him according to the injunctions given in the Dharma Shastras. It is the duty of the king is to follow these instructions. Learned circles do not appreciate the king's utilizing public endeavor for his own benefit. His duty is to give protection to the citizens instead. The king should not become such a rogue that he exploits the citizens for his own benefit. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, the heads of the government will be plunderers and thieves. These thieves and plunderers take the money and property of the public by force or convenience. Therefore, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Rajanyar Nirgunar Dasyu Dharma Bihi. As Kali Yuga advances, we can see that these characteristics are already visible. We can certainly imagine how deteriorated human civilization will be by the end of Kali Yuga. Indeed, there will no longer be a sane man capable of understanding God and our relationship with Him. In other words, human beings will be just like animals. At that time, in order to reform human society, Lord Krishna will come in the form of the Kalki avatar. His business will be to kill the atheists because ultimately, the real protector is Vishnu or Krishna. His business will be to kill all the atheists. His business will be to kill all the atheist kings, because ultimately the real protector is Vishnu or Krishna. Nice if you'd hurry up. The Lord incarnates and sets things in order when things are mismanaged by so-called kings and heads of government. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Of course, this takes many years, but the principle is there. When the king or governmental head does not follow the proper principles, nature deals out the punishments in the forms of war, famine, and so forth. Therefore, if the governmental head is not aware of life's goal, he should not take charge of ruling the people. Actually, the supreme proprietor of everything is Lord Vishnu. He is the maintainer of everyone. The king, the father, and the guardian are simply representatives of Lord Vishnu, empowered by him to look after the management and maintain things. It is therefore the duty of the head of the state to maintain the general populace in such a way. It is therefore the duty of the head of the state to maintain the general populace in such a way that people will ultimately know the goal of life. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnum. Unfortunately, the foolish governmental head and the general populace do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to understand and approach Lord Vishnu. Without this knowledge, everyone is in ignorance, and all society is crowded with cheaters and cheated. 8. All of us on the surface of the globe are living entities in different forms. Some of us are moving and some not moving. All of us come into existence, remain for some time, and are annihilated when the body is again mingled with the earth. We are all simply different transformations of the earth. Different bodies and capacities are simply transformations of the earth that exist in name only. For everything grows out of the earth, and when everything is annihilated, it again mingles with the earth. In other words, we are but dust, and we shall but be dust. Everyone can consider this point. Purport. In the Brahma Sutra, it is said, Tad anantyatvam arambham bhana shabdadipya. This cosmic manifestation is a mixture of matter and spirit, but the cause is the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, it is said, Idam hi vishvam bhagavan nivetara. The entire cosmic manifestation is but a transformation of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of illusion, no one can appreciate that God is non-different from the material world. Actually, he is not different. But this material world is simply a transformation of his different energies. Parasya shaktir vivadaya shuyate. There are also other versions of this in the Vedas, sarvam kalabidam brahma. Matter and spirit are all non-different from the Supreme Brahman, Bhagavan. Lord Sri Krishna confirms this statement in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Me bina prakrit ashtada. The material energy is Krishna's energy, but it is separated from him. The spiritual energy is also his energy, but it is not separated from him. When the material energy is engaged in the service of the Supreme Spirit, so-called material energy is also transformed into spiritual energy, just as an iron rod becomes fire when placed in contact with fire. When we can understand by an analytical study that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, our knowledge is perfect. Simply understanding the transformations of different energies is partial knowledge. We must come to the ultimate cause. Nateva dusratapatim hi vishnum. The knowledge of those who are not interested in knowing the original cause of all emanations is never perfect knowledge. There is nothing in the phenomenal world that is not produced by the supreme energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aromas from the earth are different scents manufactured and used for different purposes, but the original cause is the earth, nothing else. A water pot made of earth can be used to carry water for some time, but ultimately the pot is nothing but earth. Therefore, there is no difference between the pot and its original ingredient, earth. It is simply a different transformation of the energy. Originally, the cause or primary ingredient is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the varieties are only byproducts. In the Chandogya Upanishad, it is stated, Yatasam yekina mrit pidena sarvam mrit mayam riknatam syad vacharam panam vikaro namadheyam Ritketyevam satyam. If one studies the earth, he naturally understands the byproducts of the earth. The Vedas therefore enjoin, yasmin vijnate sarvam evam vijnatam bhavati. If one simply understands the original cause, Krishna, the cause of all causes, then naturally everything else is understood, although it may be presented in different varieties. By understanding the original cause of different varieties, one can understand everything. If we understand Krishna, the original cause of everything, we do not need to separately study the subsidiary varieties. Therefore, from the very beginning it is said, satyam param dhimahi. One has to concentrate one's understanding on the Supreme Truth, Krishna or Vasudev. The word Vasudev indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Mastani sarvabhutani nachaham teshva vastitaha. This is a summary of phenomenal and nominal philosophy. The phenomenal world depends on the nominal existence. Similarly, everything exists by virtue of the potency of the Supreme Lord, although, due to our ignorance, the Supreme Lord is not perceived in everything. This is good?
Yes.
Which part did you like the best?
This is a summary of phenomenal. Let's see here. Everything exists by virtue of the potency of the Supreme Lord, although, due to our ignorance, the Supreme Lord is not perceived in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. Text number 9. One may say that varieties arise from the planet Earth itself. However, although the universe may temporarily appear to be the truth, it ultimately has no real existence. The Earth was originally created by a combination of atomic particles. But these particles are impermanent. Actually, the atom is not the cause of the universe, although some philosophers think so. It is not a fact that the varieties found in this material world simply result from a tonic juxtaposition or combination. Purport, those who follow the atomic theory think that the protons and electrons of atoms combine in such a way as to bring all material existence into being. However, the scientists fail to discover the cause of atomic existence itself. Under these circumstances, we cannot accept that the atom is the cause of the universe. Such theories are advanced by unintelligent people. According to real intelligence, the real cause of the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Lord. Janmad yasa yataha. He is the original cause of all creation. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the original cause. Sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. Krishna is the cause of atoms, the material energy. Bhumir apu anulovayu kammano bhutir evacha ahankara itiyame na prakritir ashtada. The ultimate cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and only those in ignorance try to find out other causes by posing different theories. 10. Since this universe has no real ultimate existence, the things within it, shortness, differences, grossness, skinniness, smallness, bigness, result, cause, living symptoms, and materials are all imagined. They're all pots made of the same substance, earth, but they are named differently. The differences are characterized by the substance, nature, predisposition, time, and activity. The differences are characterized by the substance, nature, predisposition, time, and activity. You should know that all these are simply mechanical manifestations created by material nature. Purport, the temporary manifestations and varieties within this material world are simply creations of material nature under various circumstances. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. The actions and reactions carried out by the material nature are sometimes accepted as our scientific inventions. Therefore, we want to take credit for them and defy the existence of God. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Ahankara vimutatma kartaham iti manyate. Due to being covered by the illusory external energy, the living entity tries to take credit for the differentiated creations within the material world. Actually, all these are being created automatically by the material force set in motion by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the ultimate cause is the Supreme Person. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhya Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes, the ultimate cause. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Evam Sarvam Tata Prakritvahyai Kalpitam Vishnur Anyat Evam Prakrityadhara Swayam Anandyadharo Vishnudeva Atasarvam Shabdascha Tasmineva. Actually, the original cause is Lord Vishnu. But out of ignorance, people think that matter is the cause of everything. Raja Guptashayo Bhumi Sharanam Cheti Laukika Yavaharo Matatsatyam Tayura Brahmashayo Vibhu. Things are contemplated on the ephemeral or external platform, but actually this is not the truth. The actual protector and shelter of everyone is Brahman, the Supreme, not the King. Goptri cha tasya prakritis tasya vishnu swayam prabhu tava goptri tu prithvi na tvam gopta shite smita atas sarvashra yaishchaiva gopta cha harishvara sarva shabda diyashcha shabda vritir hi karanam sarvantara sarva bahir eka eva janardana. The actual protectress is the material nature, but Vishnu is her lord. He is the lord of everything. Lord Janardhan is the director both externally and internally. He is the cause of the function of the words and what is expressed in all sound. Shiraso dharata yadvad grivayas tavadevatu ashra yadvam chagoptritvam anyesham upacharata. Lord Vishnu is the resting place of the entire creation. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. On Brahman everything is resting. All the universes are resting on the Brahma Jyoti, and all the planets are resting on the universal atmosphere. In each and every planet there are oceans, hills, states, and kingdoms, and each planet is giving shelter to so many living entities. They are all standing on the earth of feet and legs, torso and shoulders, but actually everything is resting ultimately on the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is known ultimately as Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Few reflections.
There's a question.
Yes, a question that came in online.
It's from Swahili Datta.
Yes.
Are all these verses from Brahma Samhita or also by Madhvacharya?
There is a combination of verses. There's only a couple from the Brahma Samhita, and then there were. You mean the last ones? The very last ones?
Yeah, the verses.
Then, no, they were not from Brahma Samhita.
I took it from Madhvacharya.
Only Ishvara Parama Krishna was from Brahma Samhita.
It doesn't say.
And could you look in the commentary? Maybe Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has designated them. Other points? I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, in this section, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Madhvacharya very liberally.
In this section, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Madhvacharya very liberally. Therefore, he's saying that they're most likely from there. Yes?
I couldn't understand this. They are all standing on the earth of feet and legs, torso and shoulders. What does it mean?
It's all made out of the same substance. It's the same theme throughout. It's one substance, but it's made into varieties, but it all enters into the same thing.
Okay.
Everyone makes a big deal out of it. Psychological philosophies explain how we... Who was explaining this the other day? It was our very own Vrindavan Priya. He was talking about the ways in which we categorize things in the world and therefore we make meaning out of them. My mother was a sociologist. Remember, she used to study symbolic interactionism. And so much of it was about how human beings make meaning through symbolism and connect things together, say this means this means that. And you can see everywhere that people have this way of securing their sense of reality by seeing that I'm a part of this clan, or this has meaning because it's related to that. But ultimately, if you look at it from a higher up point of view, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, it means something, but it's not the meaning that they make. That's an illusory meaning based on ritertam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tadvidyaratmano mahayam yatabhaso yatatamaha, because they don't know the connection, as is being made here, to the Supreme Personality of God, and all these relationships they're conjuring and symbols that mean so much to them really are meaningless, ultimately, are illusory. Other points? Yes?
I thought on the same point that it's quite frightening.
I was thinking how frightening it is that how attached we become to these temporary phenomena, and then later on we're forced to give them up in a very intense, sudden way.
It's like talking to a dog with a meat wagon.
As we read the purports, it's just
down here, okay. As we read the purports, it becomes evident that all the scientists and all the cults of personalities that we create around all these different scientists, like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Albert Einstein and everything, and they're nothing more than just mental speculators coming up with theories to explain why God doesn't exist. And they'll never come to the smallest point or the smallest atom or the smallest particle of anything, because they approach everything from an incorrect paradigm.
Thank you. Well said. Let's pass it to our physicist back here following that. He'd like to concur, I think.
I was just making this observation that even though the verse, one can construe it for as a supporter for Mayavad, everything is earth, so I don't know what's called Vivrittavad or Parinamvad, I don't know exactly, but Prabhupada very carefully is navigating within the purport to saying that, but these are all potencies of Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that there is no leeway for impersonalism. Otherwise, it could be thought of as, okay, this is impersonalist, everything is earth, same Brahman, sarvavidam khalo Brahman, but Prabhupada so nicely navigates, so thankful to Prabhupada.
I noticed that also. Thank you. A really important point.
Yeah, I think I was thinking the same thing when I heard that the earth, everything comes from the earth, but it has different names, activities, categories, so everything is very individualized and personalized. So that be the same for our spiritual identity, that we come from Krishna, but we have different characteristics and personalities and activities. And
it's similar to the verse in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The field and then the known of the field. And he gives a long list of all the various elements of the field, which is rather surprising. I think, hey, I thought that was my unique attribute. I just took that away too. And we're deconstructed suddenly and left bare as a soul. Thank you. How do you prove it?
No.
Who else had their hand? Yes.
I think a point might have been made already, but I liked how Jada Bharata was pointing out that the reality of things, I mean, it was kind of a combination of what he was saying in Prabhupada. The reality of things depends on their connection with Krishna. And I was just thinking about how so many people make such intense endeavors to understand what things are and where they go when they disappear, where they come from, but because they can't trace it out to the Sarvakaranakaranam, the original cause, they don't know where it goes, mm-hmm. and they don't know where it comes from, and that really hurts, and that's really scary.
Yeah.
But for the devotee, yeah, and Asuna was making that point. So then for the devotee, it's just, it's no problem. That's why Jada Bharat is so calm. But the whole thing is, it's like it's all Krishna's energy, you know.
So not all facts are true. Yeah. Not all facts are true. We have alternative facts.
From Rupa Mandri, is that her name?
Yes.
Yeah, she said, I think she's in a response to Hari Vamsha, is that your name for Hari Vamsha?
The Hari Vamsha.
Hari Vamsha Prabhu's comment, I think she's responding to that, said, it seems like he does that by making use of the concept of impermanence as being a bit separate than simply illusory. That's what she said.
Would you like to respond to your
sadhu
fan base?
Sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, who else was there? Yes. Madhva.
Bring us home.
I loved this part where it was said that to get clear understanding is not enough to surrender to Guru, which is already a big deal. Surrender to Guru looks like, well, enough, but it's not enough. But we need to render loving service. This was for me very sweet. It's not enough to only surrender to Guru, which looks like the ultimate perfection to surrender to Guru. No, it's not enough. Need to render loving service. I was very impressed by this.
Okay. I was struck by two things. One partly from what you just said, and another one from how Krishna is so intelligent that he causes unlimited variety, and each one of us has a body that's different than the other bodies, and we're trying to dress it up, you know, to make it different from everyone else's, and then we become proud of it. Yeah, isn't it? We can look like ridiculous to some people, and we think we're, what is it, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. You made the point the other day that there was this really kind of like strange creature when you went through this.
And then
you realize, hey, there was a female sea cow right next to him, and she's going, yeah, and it's like, so what? What pride does, and why we have to actually become humble to take to devotional service. The other thing I thought of was this point that he's making about how surrender to the spiritual master isn't enough. And there's a verse in the Gita that says this in a little bit of an indirect way, but says it. Durina yabadam karma Buddha shananaman Buddha yoga dananjaya Buddha shananaman vishya kripana pala etu. So this means durina yavada karma means to throw to a distant place bad things by performing devotional service. So what that means that you've surrendered, you have to have surrendered to a certain extent, otherwise why would you be performing devotional service? Then he says, Buddhao Sharanamandvishwa. From that point, surrender. So in that verse, there's at least two levels of surrender, which means surrender isn't just a one off thing. And then, what? Kripana palahetava. One who are attached to the fruits are misers. So misers. Forget that surrender has to be done, you know, moment by moment, actually, until the time you leave your body, and then you still have to surrender. Okay.
Anything about the verses, Shaman Cross?
No, but the purport to the next verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is a 4.5-page epic which addresses the students of Veda Veda in a beautiful way. Anybody's interested can refer to that for more.
Okay.
Nothing on Bhagavad Chakra.
Oh, I see. It was in the commentary book. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to text 11. What then is the ultimate truth? The answer is that non-dual knowledge is the ultimate truth. It is devoid of the contamination of material qualities. It gives us liberation. It is the one without a second, all-pervading, and beyond imagination. The first realization of that knowledge is Brahman. Then Paramatma, the Super Soul, is realized. The first realization of that knowledge is Brahman. Then Paramatma, the Super Soul, is realized by the yogis who try to see him without grievance. This is the second stage of realization. Finally, full realization of the same supreme knowledge is realized in the Supreme Person. All learned scholars describe the Supreme Person as Vasudeva, the cause of Brahman, Paramatma, and others. Purport. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Yad Advaitam Brahmupanishadi Tad Apyasya Tanuva. The impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Absolute Truth consists of the bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ya atman taryami purusha iti so syang shabibhava. What is known as atma and antaryami, the super soul, is but an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sat aihrayai purno yahiya bhagavan sa soyamayam. What is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete with all six opulences, is Vasudeva, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different from him. Great learned scholars and philosophers accept this after many, many births. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. The wise man can understand that ultimately Vasudeva, Krishna, is the cause of Brahman and Paramatma, the Super Soul. Thus Vasudeva is Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. The real tattva, absolute truth, is Bhagavan, but due to incomplete realization of the absolute truth, people sometimes describe the same Vishnu as impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma. Vedanti tat tat vavidas tat am yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. From the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam says, satyam padam dhimahi. We meditate on the Supreme Truth. The Supreme Truth is explained here as jnanam vishuddham satyam. The Absolute Truth is devoid of material contamination and is transcendental to the material qualities. It gives all spiritual success and liberation from this material world. That Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna, Vasudeva. There is no difference between Krishna's inner self and outward body. Krishna is Purna, the complete whole. There is no distinction between his body and soul as there is between ours. Sometimes so-called scholars, not knowing the constitutional position of Krishna, mislead people by saying that the Krishna within is different from the Krishna without.
When Krishna says, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Imam Namaskuru, so-called scholars advise the reader that it is not the person Krishna to whom we must surrender, but the Krishna within. So-called scholars, Mayavadis, cannot understand Krishna with their poor fund of knowledge. One should therefore approach an authorized person to understand Krishna. The spiritual master has actually seen Krishna, therefore he can explain him properly. Tadviri panibhatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantide jana janina tatvadarshinaha. Without approaching an authorized person, one cannot understand Krishna. Text 12. My dear King Rahugana. Oh, this is a famous verse. Okay. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, leaving home as a vanaprastha, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Purport. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life simply by following the directions of the Vedas. One has to approach a pure devotee. Anya bilashita shunyam jnanakarma jnanavritam. By the grace of such a devotee, one can understand the absolute truth, Krishna, and one's relationship with him. A materialistic person sometimes thinks that simply by executing pious activities and remaining at home, one can understand the absolute truth. That is denied in this verse. Nor can one understand the absolute truth simply by observing the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, celibacy. One only has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth without fail. Text 13. Who are the pure devotees mentioned here? In an assembly of pure devotees, there is no question of discussing material subjects like politics and sociology. In an assembly of pure devotees, there is discussion only of the qualities, forms and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is praised and worshipped with full attention. In the association of pure devotees, by constantly hearing such topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into the existence of the Absolute Truth abandons this idea and gradually becomes attached to the service of Vasudeva. Purport. The symptoms of pure devotees are described in this verse. The pure devotee is never interested in material topics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly prohibited his devotees to talk about worldly matters. Gramya varta na kahive. One should not indulge in talking unnecessarily about news of the material world. One should not waste time in this way. This is a very important feature in the life of a devotee. A devotee has no other ambition but to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Krishna consciousness movement was started to engage people 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord and in His glorification. The students in this institution engage in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness from 5 in the morning to 10 at night, or 4 to 9. They actually have no opportunity to waste their time unnecessarily and by discussing politics, sociology, and current events. These will go their own way. A devotee is concerned only with serving Krishna positively and seriously. Text 14. In the previous verse, I was known as Maharaj Bharat. In a previous birth.
What's the previous verse?
No, birth. In a previous birth, I was known as Maharaj Bharat.
In a previous verse also. It's also correct.
Oh, all right. If you insist. If you insist. In a previous verse and birth, I was known as... Wait a second. We don't have one of the no change wall is listening and it's going to get on my case here. You didn't read that properly. Okay. In a previous birth, I was known as Maharaj Bharat. I attained perfection by becoming completely detached from material activities through direct experience. And through indirect experience, I received understanding from the Vedas. I was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, but due to my misfortune, I became very affectionate to a small deer, so much so that I neglected my spiritual duties. Due to my deep affection for the deer, in my next life, I had to accept the body of a deer. Purport. The incident herein mentioned is very significant. In a previous verse, it is stated, Vina mahat padaracho bishekam. One cannot attain perfection without smearing the dust from the lotus feet of an exalted devotee on his head. If one always follows the orders of the spiritual master, there is no question of falling down. As soon as a foolish disciple tries to overtake his spiritual master and becomes ambitious to occupy his post, he immediately falls down. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kopi. If the spiritual master is considered an ordinary man, the disciple surely loses his chance to advance further. Despite a very rigid life in devotional service, Bharat Maharaj did not consult a spiritual master when he became overly attached to a deer. Consequently, he became strongly attached to the deer, and forgetting his spiritual routine, he fell down. Text 15. My dear heroic king, whoa, there's an heroic king sitting over in the corner. Can blow away anybody with that sneeze. My dear heroic king. Just trying to keep everybody awake, you know. Too quiet sometimes. My dear heroic... What?
King.
Okay. My dear heroic king, due to my past sincere service to the Lord, I could remember everything of my past life, even while in the body of a deer. Because I am aware of the fall down of my past life, I always keep myself separate from the association of ordinary men. being afraid of their bad materialistic association, I wander alone. I wander alone, unnoticed by others.
There's a question.
Purport. You're giving the purport?
No, there is a question.
Oh.
So wait, wait.
Well, why don't you just finish the purport, and then we'll take the question.
Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Svalpam apyasya dharmasya. It is certainly a great fall to go from human life to animal life. But in the case of Bharat Maharaj, or any devotee, devotional service to the Lord never goes in vain. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yante kalevaram. At the time of death, by nature's law, the mind is absorbed in a certain type of thinking. This may lead one to animal life, yet for a devotee, there is no loss. Even though Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, he didn't forget his position. Consequently, in the body of a deer, he was very careful to remember the cause of his fall down. As a result, he was given a chance to be born in a family of very pure brahmanas. Thus, his service to the Lord never went in vain.
Question? Yes, Rupa Manjari again. She said,
yes.
She's asking, she said, just to be clear. Just to be clear, he did have a spiritual master, his father, right? The key was not the consultation in the moment.
Father,
yeah, that's true. He had a spiritual master, but yes, consultation in the moment, contextual. One has to have ongoing spiritual guidance. Good point.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. We're on Chapter 12, Rahugana converses with Judd Bharat. We're taking up again where we left off at the Gayatri break, text number 16. Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory associations within this material world. Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory associations within this material world.
Okay, a phrase is put back in because it's there in the Sanskrit and they left it out, and it was also there in the original. Simply by giving up the association of the worldly people and associating with the exalted devotees.
Okay. Would you please read it for the record then? Okay. Simply by giving up the association of worldly people and associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection in knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory associations within this material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting Shravanam Kirtanam. Thus one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness, and sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home back to Godhead, even in this life. Purport. To become liberated from material bondage, one must give up the association of worldly people and accept the association of devotees. Positive and negative processes are mentioned in this regard. Through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is dormant within. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving this chance to everyone. We are giving shelter to everyone who is serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. We arrange for their lodging and board so that they can peacefully cultivate Krishna consciousness and return home back to Godhead, even in this life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 12th chapter, of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Conversation Between Maharaj Rugana and Judd Bharat. Sabi, sabi. Bravo. Chapter 13, Further Talks Between King Rahugana and Jadbhara. Text number 1. Jadbhara, who had fully realized Brahman, continued, "My dear King Rahugana, the living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, rajagun, and tamaguna, the living entity can see only the three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious, and mixed. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the monistic theory of liberation, merging with the Supreme. He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters a forest to acquire some articles to sell later for profit. However, he cannot really achieve happiness within this material world." Purport. One can very easily understand how difficult and insurmountable the path of sense gratification is. Not knowing what the path of sense gratification is, one becomes implicated in the repetition of birth and accepts different types of bodies again and again. Thus one suffers in material existence. In this life, one may think that he is very happy being an American, Indian, Englishman, or German. But in the next life, one has to accept another body among 8,400,000 species. The next body has to be immediately accepted according to karma. One will be forced to accept a certain type of body, and protesting will not help. That is the stringent law of nature. Due to the living entity's ignorance of his eternal blissful life, he becomes attracted to material activities under the spell of Maya. In this world, he can never experience happiness, yet he works very hard to do so. This is called Maya. Text number 2. O King Rahugana, in this forest of material existence, there are 6 very powerful plunderers. When the conditioned soul enters the forest to acquire some material gains, the 6 plunderers misguide him. Thus, the conditioned merchant does not know how to spend his money, and it is taken away by these plunderers. Like tigers, jackals, and other ferocious animals in a forest, they are ready to take away a lamb from the custody of its protector. The wife and the children enter the heart of the merchant and plunder him in so many ways. Purport. In the forest, there are many plunderers, dacoits, jackals, and tigers. The jackals are compared to one's wife and children. In the dead of night, jackals cry very loudly. And similarly, one's wife and children in this material world also cry like jackals. The children say, "Father, this is wanted. Give me this. I am your dear son." Or the wife says, "I am your dear wife. Please give me this. This is now needed." In this way, one is plundered by the thieves in the forest. Not knowing the aim of human life, one is constantly being misguided. The aim of life is Vishnu. Nate vidu swartha katim hi Vishnu. Everyone works very hard to earn money, but no one knows that his real self-interest is in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of spending money for advancing in the Krishna consciousness movement, one spends his hard-earned money on clubs, brothels, liquor, slaughterhouses, and so forth. Due to sinful activities, one becomes implicated in the process of transmigration, and thus he has to accept one body after another. Being thus absorbed in a distressed condition, one never attains happiness. 3. In this forest, there are dense bowers composed of thickets of bushes, grass, and creepers. In those bowers, the conditioned soul is always disturbed by cruelly biting mosquitoes, envious people. Sometimes he sees an imaginary palace in the forest, and sometimes he is bewildered by seeing a fleeting fiend or ghost, which appears like a meteor in the sky. Purport. The material household is actually a whole of fruit of activity. To earn a livelihood, one engages in different industries and trades, and sometimes one performs great sacrifices to go to higher planetary systems. Apart from this, at least everyone is engaged in earning a livelihood in some profession or occupation. In these dealings, one has to meet many undesirable people, and their behavior is compared to the biting of mosquitoes. This creates very undesirable conditions. Even in the midst of these disturbances, one imagines that he is going to construct a grand house and live there permanently, although he knows that he cannot. Gold is compared to a quickly fleeting fiend, which appears like a meteor in the sky. It displays itself for a moment and is then gone. Generally, karmis are attracted to gold or money, but these are compared herein to ghosts and witches. 4. My dear king, the merchant on the forest path of material world, of the material world, his intelligence victimized at home, wealth, relatives, and so forth. My dear king, the merchant on the forest path of the material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives, and so forth, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind. That is to say, in his lust he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during her menstrual period. Thus his eyes are blinded, and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. Purport. It is said that a household attraction resides in the wife, because sex is the center of household life. In my tunadi gremedi sukham hitucham. A materialistic person making his wife the center of attraction works very hard day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, karmis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. Under the circumstances, the wife is compared to a whirlwind, especially during her menstrual period. Those who strictly follow the rules and regulations of householder life engage in sex only once a month, at the end of the menstrual period. As one looks forward to this opportunity, his eyes are overwhelmed by the beauty of his wife. Thus it is said that the whirlwind covers the eyes with lust, dust. Such a lusty person does not know that all his material activities are being observed by different demigods, especially the sun god, and are being recorded for the karma of one's next body. Astrological calculations are called Jyoti Shastra. Because the Jyoti, or effulgence, in the material world comes from the different stars and planets, the science is called Jyoti Shastra, the science of the luminaries. By the calculations of Jyoti, our future is indicated. In other words, all the luminaries, the stars, sun, and moon, witness the activities of the conditioned soul. Thus he is awarded a particular type of body. A lusty person whose eyes are covered by the dust of the whirlwind of material existence does not at all consider that his activities are being observed by different stars and planets and are being recorded. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of sinful activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires. 5. Wandering in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sounds of owls, which are just like the harsh words of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage, and he runs after it. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Bhagavat philosophy is meant for people who are completely free from envy. Paramo nirmatsaranam. The material world is full of envious people. Even within one's inner circle, there is much backbiting. And this is compared to the sound vibration of a cricket in the forest. One cannot see the cricket, but one hears its sounds and thus becomes aggrieved. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always hears unpalatable words from relatives. This is the nature of the world. One cannot avoid mental distress due to the backbiting of envious people. Being very much aggrieved, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. Thus the living entity is disappointed. This is like running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. Such, Such activities do not produce any tangible result. Due to being directed by the illusory energy, the conditioned soul suffers in so many ways. Nectar. Text 6. Sometimes the conditioned soul jumps into a shallow river. Or being short of food grains, he goes to beg food from people who are not at all charitable. Sometimes he suffers from the burning heat of household life, which is like a forest fire. And sometimes he becomes sad to have his wealth, which is as dear as life, plundered by kings in the name of heavy income taxes. Purport. When one is hot due to the scorching sun, one sometimes jumps into a river to gain relief. However, if the river is almost dried up and the water is too shallow, one may break his bones by jumping in. That happened once. Remember, Vrindavan? Kipurai jumped into...
He didn't break anything, though. But it's happened a lot.
Close enough.
People do it all the time.
The conditioned soul is always experiencing miserable conditions. Sometimes his efforts to get help from friends are exactly like jumping into a dry river. By such actions, he does not derive any benefit. He only breaks his bones. Sometimes, suffering from a shortage of food, one may go to a person who is neither able to give charity nor willing to do so. Sometimes, one is stationed in a household life which is compared to a forest fire, samsara dava nalavida loka. When a man is heavily taxed by the government, he becomes very sad. Heavy taxation obliges one to hide his income. But despite this endeavor, the government agents are often so vigilant and strong that they take all the money away, and the conditioned soul becomes very much aggrieved. The people are trying to become happy within the material world, but this is like trying to be happy in a forest fire. No one need to go to a forest to set it ablaze. Fire takes place automatically. Similarly, no one wants to be unhappy in family life or worldly life, but by the laws of nature, unhappiness and distress are forced upon everyone. To become dependent on another for one's maintenance is very degrading. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, everyone should live independently. Only the Shudras are unable to live independently. They are obliged to serve someone for maintenance. It is said in the Shastras, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In this age of Kali, everyone is dependent on another's mercy for the maintenance of the body. Therefore, everyone is classified as a Shudra. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in Kali Yuga, the government will levy taxes without reciprocally benefiting the citizens. Anavrishtya vinangshanti durbhiksha kadapiditaha. In this age, there will also be a shortage of rain. Therefore, a scarcity of food will arise, and the citizens will be very much harassed by government taxation. In this way, the citizens will abandon their attempts to lead a peaceful life and will leave their homes and hearths and go to the forest in sheer disappointment. Text 7. Sometimes, being defeated or plundered by a superior, powerful agent, a living entity loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose, and lamenting their loss, he sometimes becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied if this is possible. But such so-called happiness continues only for a moment. Purport. The word Gandharva Puram is very significant in this verse. Sometimes in the forest,
a very big castle appears. And this is called a castle in the air. Actually, this castle does not exist anywhere but in one's imagination. This is called Gandharvapura. In the material forest, the conditioned soul sometimes contemplates great castles and skyscrapers, and he wastes his energy for such things, hoping to live in them very peacefully with his family forever. However, the laws of nature do not allow this. When he enters such castles, he temporarily thinks that he is very happy, even though his happiness is impermanent. His happiness may last for a few years, but because the owner of the castle has to leave the castle at the time of death, everything is eventually lost. This is the way of worldly transactions. Such happiness is described by Vidyapati as the happiness one derives from seeing a drop of water in the desert. The desert is heated by scorching sunshine, and if we want to reduce the desert temperature, we need huge amounts of water, millions and millions of gallons. What effect will one drop have? Water certainly has value, but one drop of water cannot reduce the heat of the desert. In this material world, everyone is ambitious, but the heat is very scorching. What will an imaginary castle in the air do to help? Srila Vidyapati has therefore sung Tattala Saikate Vari Bindu Sama Sutamita Ramani Samaje. The happiness of family life, friends and society is compared to a drop of water in the scorching desert. The entire material world is busy trying to attain happiness because happiness is the prerogative of a living being. Unfortunately, due to falling in contact with the material world, the living entity simply struggles for existence. Even if one becomes happy for a while, a very powerful enemy may plunder everything. There are many instances in which a big businessman suddenly become paupers in the street. Yet the nature of material existence is such that foolish people are attracted to these transactions and they forget the real business of self-realization. Text 8. Sometimes the merchant in the forest wants to climb the hills and mountains, but due to insufficient footwear, his feet are pricked by small stone fragments and by thorns on the mountain. Being prickled by them, he becomes very aggrieved. Sometimes a person who is very attached to his family becomes overwhelmed with hunger, and due to his miserable condition, he becomes furious with his family members. Purport. The ambitious conditioned soul wants to be very happy in this material world with his family, but he is compared to a traveler in the forest who desires to climb a hill full of thorns and small stones. As stated in the previous verse, the happiness derived from society, friendship, and love is like a drop of water in the scorching heat of the desert. One may want to become very great and powerful in society, but this is like attempting to climb a hill full of thorns. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur compares one's family to high mountains. Becoming happy in their association is like a hungry man's endeavoring to climb a mountain full of thorns. Almost 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life, all the attempts being made to satisfy the family members. Almost 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life, despite all the attempts being made to satisfy the family members. In the Western countries, due to the dissatisfaction of the family members, there is actually no family life. There are many cases of divorce, and out of dissatisfaction, the children leave the protection of their parents, especially in this age of Kali. family life is being reduced. Everyone is becoming self-centered because that is the law of nature. Even if one has sufficient money to maintain a family, the situation is such that no one is happy in family life. Consequently, according to the Varnashrama institution, one has to retire from family life in middle life, middle age. Pancha shordvam vanam brajet. One should voluntarily retire from family life at the age of 50 and go to Vrindavan or a forest. This is recommended by Sri Prahlad Maharaj. Tat sadu manye sudabar yadehinam sada samud vigna deyam sat krihat hit vat mapapam priyam andakupam vanam gato yat dun ashrieta. There is no benefit in transferring one from one forest to another. One must go to the Vrindavan forest and take shelter of Govinda. That will make one happy. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is therefore constructing a Krishna Balaram temple to invite its members, as well as outsiders, to come and live peacefully in a spiritual environment and atmosphere. That will help one become elevated to the transcendental world and return home, back to Godhead. Another sentence in this verse is very significant. Kautumbika krudyatibai janaya. When one's mind is disturbed in so many ways, he satisfies himself by becoming angry with his poor wife and children. The wife and children are naturally dependent on the father, but the father, being unable to maintain the family properly, becomes mentally distressed and therefore chastises the family members unnecessarily. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ach chinnadada dravina yasyanti yidi kananam. Kanananam. Kananam. Yidi kananam.
Yidi kananam.
Yidi kananam. Being disgusted with family life, one separates from the family by divorce or some other means. If one has to separate, why not separate willingly? Systematic separation is better than forced separation. Forced separation cannot make anyone happy. But by mutual consent or by the Vedic arrangement, one must separate from his family members at a certain age and fully depend on Krishna. This makes one's life successful. Text 9. The conditioned soul in the material forest is sometimes swallowed by a python or crushed. At such a time, he is left lying in the road like a dead person.
Hey, that's the wrong citation.
Really?
It's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12:29. It's actually 12:28.
Wow.
Is it still 12:29?
Just a second. We're going to see.
5 points.
It says 8 now.
What?
It says 8 or 9 in there now.
Kuchin getting your email? No.
8 9.
8 was right.
Mine says, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12:29. Achina Dhara Dravina Yasyanti Giri Kala.
Excuse me? Last
purport.
I didn't know you were doing the last purport. I mean, tell me where it is.
His is probably updated also. Just seeing. But it's better if you leave it the way it was.
12:28.
I think you should leave it the way it was.
We can't change anything, you know.
It's better the other way.
What's wrong with you? Okay, so it's right.
It's more poetic that way.
Oh yeah, 12:28.
Giri Kana.
We're making a few points here. Do you understand? We're making a few points over here.
Forest. Okay, go ahead. Giri Kananam. Say what?
Text 9. The conditioned soul in the material forest is sometimes swallowed by a python or crushed. At such time he is left lying in the forest like a dead person, devoid of consciousness and knowledge. Sometimes other poisonous snakes bite him. Being blind to his consciousness, he falls down into a dark well of hellish life with no hope of being rescued. Purport. When one becomes unconscious due to being bitten by a snake, one cannot understand what is taking place outside the body. The unconscious condition is the condition of deep sleep. Similarly, the conditioned soul is actually sleeping on the lap of the illusory energy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Kota Nidra Jayo Maya Pishachira Kole. A living entity, O living entity, how long will you sleep in this condition on the lap of the illusory energy? People do not understand that they are actually sleeping in this material world, being devoid of knowledge of spiritual life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Enet chi aushadi maya nashivada lagi harinamma maha mantra dhatumi magi. I have brought medicine to awaken every living being from perpetual sleep. Please receive the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and awaken. The Katha Upanishad also says, Utisha Tata Jagrata Prapya Varan Nibodaha. Nibodata. O living entity, you are sleeping in this material world. Please get up and take advantage of your human form of life. The sleeping condition means loss of all knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also said, Yanisha Sarvabhutanam Tasyam Jagarti Samyami. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. Even in the higher planets, everyone is under the spell of the illusory energy. No one is really interested in the real values of life. The sleeping condition, called Kala Sarpa, the time factor, keeps the conditioned soul in a state of ignorance, and therefore pure consciousness is lost. In the forest, there are many blind wells, and if one falls down in one, there is no chance of being rescued. In a state of sleep, one remains perpetually bitten by some animals, especially snakes. Text 10. Sometimes, in order to have a little insignificant sex enjoyment, one searches after debauched women. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the women's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes, after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman for some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the woman, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee. Purport. In a great forest, honeycombs are very important. People often go there to collect honey from the combs, and sometimes the bees attack and punish them. In human society, those who are not Krishna conscious remain in the forest of material life simply for the honey of sex life. Such debauchees are not at all satisfied with one wife. They want many women. Day after day, with great difficulty, they try to secure such women, and sometimes, while trying to taste this kind of honey, one is attacked by a woman's kinsmen and chastised very heavily. By bribing others, one may secure another woman for enjoyment, yet another debauchee may kidnap her or offer her something better. This woman hunting is going on in the forest of the material world, sometimes legally and sometimes illegally. Consequently, in this Krishna consciousness movement, the devotees are forbidden to have illicit sex. Thus they avoid so many difficulties. One should remain satisfied with one woman being duly married. One can satisfy one's lusty desires with his wife without creating disturbances in society and being punished for doing so.
Text 11. Sometimes the living entity is busy counteracting the natural disturbances of freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, excessive rainfall, and so forth. When he is unable to do so, he becomes very unhappy. Sometimes he is cheated in business transactions, one after another. In this way, by cheating, living entities create enmity among themselves.
There's the common difference.
There you go. Purport. This is an example of the struggle for existence, the attempt to counteract the onslaught of material nature. This creates enmity in society, and consequently society is filled with envious people. One person is envious of another, and this is the way of the material world. The Krishna conscious movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. Of course, it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but the Krishna conscious movement can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. Kwachit China Danastu Tasmin. On the forest path of material existence, sometimes a person is without wealth and due to this does not have a proper home, bed or sitting place, nor proper family enjoyment. He therefore goes to beg money from others. But when his desires are not fulfilled by begging, he wants to borrow or steal the property of others. Thus, he is insulted in society. Purport. The principles of beg, borrow, or steal are very appropriate in this material world. When one is in want, he begs, borrows, or steals. If begging is unsuccessful, he borrows. If he cannot pay, he steals. And when he is caught, he is insulted. This is the law of material existence. No one can live here very honestly. Therefore, by trickery, cheating, begging, borrowing, or stealing, one tries to satisfy his senses. Thus, no one in this material world is living peacefully. 13. Due to monetary transactions, relationships become very strained and end in enmity. Sometimes the husband and wife walk on the path of material progress, and to maintain their relationship they work very hard. Sometimes, due to scarcity of money or due to diseased conditions, they are embarrassed and almost die. Purport. In this material world, there are many transactions between peoples and societies as well, In this material world, there are many transactions between peoples and societies as well as between nations, but gradually these end in enmity between the two parties. Similarly, in the marriage relationship, monetary transactions are sometimes overpowered by the dangerous conditions of material life.
Oops, that was a mistake. It's not that monetary transactions are overwhelmed. One becomes overwhelmed by the same monetary transactions. It's not that monetary...
Similarly, in the marriage relationship, gradually one becomes overwhelmed by the same monetary transactions.
Yes.
And one becomes so afflicted by diseases or other dangerous conditions of material life that one almost dies.
See the difference?
It's very clear.
Big difference. It's not that a monetary transaction can become overwhelmed. A man of transition is not a person who cannot become overwhelmed. The person becomes overwhelmed. Therefore, this was suggested to become one becomes overwhelmed by the same monetary transactions.
One then becomes diseased or monetarily embarrassed. In the modern age, most countries have developed economically,
but due to business exchanges, relationships seem to be strange. In the modern age, most countries have developed economically, but due to business exchanges, relationships seem to be strained. Finally, wars are declared between nations, and as a result of these upheavals, there is destruction all over the world, and people suffer heavily. 14. My dear King, on the forest path of material life, first a person is bereft of his father and mother, and after their death he becomes attached to his newly born children. In this way, he wanders on the path of material progress and is eventually embarrassed. Nonetheless, no one knows how to get out of this, even up to the moment of death.
Is your transmitter, is it okay?
Yes. No sound?
So the sound is interrupted. I don't know what that means.
Sound is interrupted? Still?
Yeah. Anyway, it's okay. Try it.
Not very good.
Better get it fixed.
How's the battery on now?
It's got two bars.
Two bars.
Ask him now, how's it going? How's it going now? Everybody, can you hear? Can you hear me now?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me now? Hello.
How is the sound?
Sound is okay.
Well done.
There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power, yet due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. What, did I skip something? In Vrindavan. Purport. In this material world, family life is an institution of sex. As text number 14.
You got that right.
This Prabhupada, in a, he called the family a sex cult. he was with some gentlemen who were like similar age, that from previous, like, you know, they considered him to, of course, to be the spiritual master, but there was a different relationship than with disciples. It's more of a pure relationship, and they were quoting shlokas and everything, and then Prabhupada started to turn the screws on them because they were all grihasthas, and then he started preaching about family life. And he said it's all based on sex. And then they were defending, and then Prabhupada said it is a sex cult. In the material world, family life is an institution of sex. Yanmaitanadi griyamedi sukham. Through sex, the father and mother beget children, and the children get married and go down the same path of sexual life. After the death of the father and mother, the children get married and beget their own children. Thus, generation after generation, these things go on in the same way, without anyone's attaining liberation from the embarrassment of material life. No one accepts the spiritual processes of knowledge and renunciation, which end in bhakti yoga. Actually, human life is meant for jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. Through these, one can attain the platform of devotional service. Unfortunately, people in this age avoid the association of liberated people, sadhu sangha, and continue in their stereotyped way of family life. Thus, they are embarrassed by the exchange of money and sex. 15. There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power, yet due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. Purport. Big political leaders might be able to conquer equally powerful political enemies, but unfortunately they cannot subdue their strong senses, the enemies that always accompany them. Not being able to conquer these nearby enemies, they simply try to conquer other enemies, and ultimately they die in the struggle for existence. They do not take to the path of spiritual realization or become sannyasis. Sometimes these big leaders take up the guise of a sannyasi and call themselves mahatmas. But their only business is conquering their political enemies. Because they spoil their lives with the illusion of "this is my land and my family," they cannot progress spiritually and attain liberation from the clutches of Maya.
Check 16. Going deeper into the forest of material enjoyment. Are you ready? Sometimes the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers. Being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons, and vultures. Purport. In the forest of the material world, there are many animals and birds, trees and creepers. Sometimes the living entity wants to take shelter of the creepers. In other words, he wants to be happy by being embraced by the creeper-like arms of his wife. Within the creepers, there are many chirping birds. This indicates that he wants to satisfy himself by hearing the sweet voice of his wife. In old age, however, he sometimes becomes afraid of imminent death, which is compared to a roaring lion. To save himself from the lion's attack, he takes shelter of some bogus swamis, yogis, incarnations, pretenders, and cheaters. Being misled by the illusory energy in this way, he spoils his life. It is said, Harim binat naivanitam taranti. No one can be saved. No one can be saved from the imminent danger of death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Hari indicates the lion as well as the Supreme Lord. To be saved from the hands of Hari, the lion of death, one must take shelter of the Supreme Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People with a poor fund of knowledge take shelter of non-devotees, cheaters and pretenders. People with a poor fund of knowledge take shelter of non-devotee cheaters and pretenders in order to be saved from the clutches of death. In the forest of the material world, the living entity first of all wants to be very happy by taking shelter of the creeper-like arms of his wife and hearing her sweet voice. Later, he sometimes takes shelter of so-called gurus and sadhus who are like cranes, herons, and vultures. And thus he is cheated both ways by not taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Text 17. Text what?
17.
Just checking. Being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogis, swamis, and incarnations and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication, looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers. He becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. That's really interesting, huh? The sense gratifiers look at each other in their eyes and they bewilder each other. Encourage each other in these activities. Jeez. Purport. Sometimes a foolish person becomes disgusted with bad association and comes to the association of devotees and brahmanas and takes initiation from a spiritual master. As advised by the spiritual master, he tries to follow the regulative principles, but due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He therefore gives up the company of devotees and goes to associate with simian people who are simply interested in sex and intoxication. Those who are so-called spiritualists are compared to monkeys. Outwardly, monkeys sometimes resemble sadhus because they live naked in the forest and pick fruits. But their only desire is to keep many female monkeys and enjoy sex life. Sometimes so-called spiritualists seeking a spiritual life come to associate with Krishna conscious devotees, but they cannot execute the regulated principles or follow the path of spiritual life. Consequently, they leave the association of devotees and go to associate with sense gratifiers who are compared to monkeys. Again, they revive their sex and intoxication, and looking at one another's faces, they are thus satisfied. In this way, they pass their lives up to the point of death. Text 18. When the living entity becomes exactly like a monkey jumping from one branch to another, he remains in the tree of household life without any profit but sex. Thus he is kicked by his wife, just like the he-ass. Unable to gain release, he remains helplessly in that position. Sometimes he falls victim to an incurable disease, which is like falling into a mountain cave. He becomes afraid of death, which is like the elephant in the back of that cave. And he remains stranded, grasping at the twigs and branches of a creeper. Purport. The precarious condition of a householder's life is described herein. A householder's life is full of misery, and the only attraction is sex with the wife, who kicks him during sexual intercourse, just as a she-ass does her mate. Due to continuous sex life, he falls victim to many incurable diseases. At that time, being afraid of death, which is like an elephant, he remains hanging from the twigs and branches of the tree, just like a monkey. Text 19. O killer of enemies, Maharaj Rahugana, if the conditioned soul somehow or other gets out of his dangerous position, he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life, for that is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest, even at the point of death. Purport. This is the way of material life. When one is captured by sexual attraction, he becomes implicated in so many ways and cannot understand the real aim of life. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nate vidu swartagatim hi Vishnu. Generally, people do not understand the ultimate goal of life. As stated in the Vedas, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Vashanti Surayaha. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. The conditioned soul, however, not being interested in reviving his relationship with Vishnu, becomes captivated by material activities and remains in everlasting bondage, being misled by so-called leaders. Text 20. My dear King Rahugana, you are also a victim of the external energy, being situated on the path of attraction to material pleasure. So that you may become an equal friend to all living entities, I now advise you to give up your kingly position and the rod by which you punish criminals. Give up attraction to the sense objects and take up the sword of knowledge sharpened by devotional service. Then you will be able to cut the hard knot of illusory energy and cross to the other side of the ocean of nations. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna compares the material world to a tree of illusion. To what?
A tree of illusion.
All right. From which one must cut oneself free. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment. So doing, one must seek that place from which, having once gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything has begun and in whom everything is abiding since time immemorial. Text 21.
King Rahugana said, "This birth as a human being is the best of all. Even birth among the demigods and the heavenly planets is not as glorious as birth as a human being on this earth. What is the use of the exalted position of a demigod? In the heavenly planets, due to profuse material comforts, there is no possibility of associating with devotees." Purport, human birth is a great opportunity for self-realization. One may take birth in a high planetary system among the demigods, but due to the profusion of material comforts, one cannot gain release from material bondage. Even on this earth, those who are very opulent do not generally care to take to Krishna consciousness. An intelligent person actually interested in getting freed from the material clutches must associate with pure devotees. By such association, one can gradually become detached from the material attraction of money and women. Money and women are the basic principles of material attachment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised those who are actually serious about returning back to Godhead to give up money and women in order to be fit to enter the kingdom of God. Money and women can be fully utilized in the service of the Lord, and one who can utilize them in this way can become freed from material bondage. Satam prasangam amavirya sambado bhavanti hridkarna rasayana katha. Only in the association of devotees can one relish the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just through a little association with a pure devotee, one can become successful in his journey back to Godhead. 22. It is not at all wonderful that simply by being covered by the dust of your lotus feet, one immediately attains the platform of pure devotional service to a dhokshaja, which is not available even to great demigods like Brahma. By associating with you just for a moment, I am now freed from all argument, false prestige, and lack of discrimination, which are the roots of entanglement in the material world. Now I am free from all these problems. Purport. Association with pure devotees certainly frees one from the material clutches. This is certainly true of King Rahugana's association with Jadbharat. King Rahugana was immediately freed from the misgivings of material association. The arguments offered by pure devotees to their disciples are so convincing that even a dull-headed disciple is immediately enlightened with spiritual knowledge. 23. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the great personalities, whether they walk on the earth's surface as children, young boys, avadhutas, or great brahmanas. Even if they are hidden under different guises, I offer my respects to all of them. By their mercy, may there be good fortune in the royal dynasties that are always offending them.
Purport. King Rahugana was very repentant because he had forced Judd Bharat to carry his palanquin. He therefore began offering prayers to all kinds of brahmanas and self-realized persons, even though they might be playing like children or hiding in some guises. The four Kumaras walked everywhere in the guise of five-year-old. The four Kumaras walked everywhere in the guise of five-year-old boys, and similarly, there are many brahmanas known as knowers of Brahman who traverse the globe either as young men, children, or avadhutas. Being puffed up due to their position, the royal dynasties generally offend these great personalities. Therefore, King Rahugana began to offer his respectful obeisances unto them so that the offensive royal dynasties might not glide down into a hellish condition. If one offends a great personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not excuse one, although the great personalities themselves might not take offense. Maharaj Ambarish was offended by Durvasa, who even approached Lord Vishnu for pardon. Lord Vishnu would not grant him pardon, therefore he had to fall down at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish, even though Maharaj Ambarish was a Kshatriya Grihastha. One should be very careful not to offend the lotus feet of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. 24. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, O son of Mother Uttara, there were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Judd Bharat due to his being insulted by King Rahugana, who made him carry his palanquin. But Judd Bharat neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet like an ocean. Although King Rahugana had insulted him, he was a great Paramahamsa. Being a Vaishnava, he was naturally very kind-hearted, and he therefore told the king about the constitutional position of the soul. He then forgot the insult because King Rahugana pitifully begged pardon at his lotus feet. After this, he began to wander all over the earth just as before." Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.21, Kapiladev describes the symptoms of great personalities. Tikshava Karunika Surada Sarvadehinam. A saintly devotee is certainly very tolerant. He is the friend of all living entities, and he does not create enemies within this world. A pure devotee has all the qualities of a sadhu. Judd Bharat is an example of this. Due to the material body, his senses were certainly agitated when he was insulted by King Rahugana. But later, due to the king's humble submission, Judd Bharat excused him. It is the duty of everyone desiring to return to Godhead to become submissive like King Rahugana and beg pardon of Vaishnavas one may have offended. Vaishnavas are generally very kind-hearted. Therefore, if one immediately submits oneself at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, one is immediately cleared of offensive reactions. If one does not do this, the reactions will remain and the results will not be very palatable. Mm-hmm. This is interesting because oftentimes in discussing the verse, Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadva tadva kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantam apnoti nakama kami. There's a way in which we describe how a self-realized person notices that there are material desires. In fact, Prabhupada mentions it himself in the purport, and then says that a person, although seeing them, although they're present, doesn't react to them because he's not disturbed by them at all.
Not inclined to follow.
Not inclined to follow.
Not inclined to follow.
Then there's, I've had several times in those such discussions, devotees give the supposition that actually that is referring to a lower class of devotees, because in a higher class of devotee, such things aren't present at all. Mm. However, I mean, this could be some pramanam that because Judd Bharat is being presented as a Paramahamsa. And here he's seen with this feeling of having received the insult, and then there was some kind of, what was the word used?
Dissatisfaction.
Dissatisfaction there. You know, there was something there that he overlooks because of
the apology. But I wonder how you all feel about that. Sorry, there's no time to discuss it. After receiving lessons from the great devotee Jug Bharat, King Rahugana of the state of Sovira became completely aware of the constitutional position of the soul. He thus gave up the bodily conception completely. My dear king, whoever takes shelter of the servant of the servant of the Lord is certainly glorified because he can, without difficulty, give up the bodily conception. Purport. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 2254, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. It is a fact that if one takes shelter of a pure devotee, one attains all perfection, even if the association is a short one. A sadhu is a pure devotee of the Lord. It has been our practical experience that the first instruction of our spiritual master infused us with Krishna consciousness so that now we are at least on the path of Krishna consciousness and can understand the philosophy. As a result, there are many devotees engaged in this Krishna consciousness movement. The whole world is revolving under the bodily conception. Therefore, there must be devotees all over the world to deliver people from the false bodily conception and fully engage them in Krishna consciousness. 26. King Parikshit then told Shukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, O great devotee sage, you are omniscient. You have very nicely described the position of the conditioned soul who is compared to a merchant in the forest. From these instructions, intelligent men can understand that the senses of a person in the bodily conception are like rogues and thieves in that forest, and one's wife and children are like jackals and other ferocious animals. However, it is not very easy for the unintelligent to understand the purport of this story because it is difficult to extricate the exact meaning from the allegory. I therefore request Your Holiness to give the direct meaning. Purport. There are many stories and incidents in Srimad Bhagavatam that are described figuratively. Such allegorical descriptions may not be understood by unintelligent men. Therefore, it is the duty of the student to approach a bona fide spiritual master for the direct explanation. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Further Talks Between King Rahugana and Jug Bharat. Thus ends this morning's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll take it up again at 3:30 India Standard Time. We thank everyone who's joined us in the live studio audience. And for all of you who have joined us online, we've felt your presence very deeply. We thank you very much. And please come back and join us at 3:30 p.m. India Standard Time, no matter what time it is back home. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Hari Bo. Hari Bo. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Hari Bo. Nitai Gaura Hari Chakopurusha, Kripasinameva Chapatita Nam Pavanibio, Vaishnavibio, Namunamaha, Nantakoti Vaishnaviniki Jar. Natari Armarman, 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 Natari Armarman,